So let's continue on volume 6, 12-17-03. Continuing in my usual state, for a few instants I saw Blessed Jesus with a cross on his shoulders in the act of encountering his most holy mother. I said to him, Lord, what did your mother do in this most sorrowful encounter? So here we can see the bilocation that God has given to Louisa and wants to give to us. So don't be astonished when God will take you places. He'll take you to Golgotha. He'll take you to Bethlehem. He'll take you to the Garden of Eden. He'll take you to Capernaum. Begin to understand that he wants you there to watch him, to see him, to live in the divine will. You have to give up your human will. Okay, you choose your free will. Your free will says, do I want to live in my human misery, or do I want to live in God's will? So you use your free will to choose, which one do I want to go? So you never lose your free will. But you choose which will you want to live in, your human will or the divine will. Okay, so as you choose, as you say, okay, what do I want to do? What happens is God says, okay, let me lead you farther into his most holy divine will, his life, where, again, there is no time or space. So he will take you places and show you things that will astonish you. And not to get too upset by it, but just keep a record. You know, just say, you know, and 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon, you know, August, whatever, 5th, this is what happened. And you write in detail, dot, 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 dot. And then you stop, close the book, put it away, and don't think about it again. You know, because you never know whether Jesus took you there or the devil took you there. You have no idea. So you just put it aside. If you have a spiritual director, which is a good thing to do, it'd be great to share that with him. But don't be absorbed by the things that are happening. Just let it, like water off a duck's back. You just say thank you and just get rid of it. Our job is to begin to, like we said, look to the heavens as if in a mirror and see God. See, God wants us to see him in us. He wants us to, he wants to hear us in our speaking. He wants to experience him, the life of life, reigning in us. He wants to truly be Lord of our life. So again, here, Louisa is at Golgotha with Our Lady. And Jesus said, my daughter, Our Lady did nothing but a most profound and simple act of adoration. And since the simpler the act, the more easily it unites with God. Most simple spirit. And in this act, Our Lady infused herself in me and continued in what I myself was doing in my interior. This was immensely pleasing to me, more than if she had done any other greater thing. In fact, the true spirit of adoration consists of this, that the creature dissolves herself and finds herself in the divine sphere. She orders all that God does, and she unites with him. Okay, so with that drop of water, that drop of nothing, put into the chalice filled with wine, it fuses and diffuses and becomes wine. See, God wants us to share in his divinity. You know, he wants us to share in his nature. And he does this by this great grace of this gift of the divine will. So he says, do you think that when the mouth adores but the mind is somewhere else, it is true adoration? That is, the mind adores but the will is far away from me? Or one power adores me and the others are all disordered? No, I want everything for me and everything I have given her in me. This is the greatest act of cult of adoration that the creature can do for me. So again, this life, this cult, is what our God wants us to have. He wants to gaze in our gazing. He wants to hear in our hearing. He wants to walk in our walking. He wants to eat in our eating. See, this is the wonderful thing, is as we do everything for the Lord, how happy he becomes. Because he's found someone that wants what God wants. You know, God never wanted us to have a choice. He said to Adam, you can have anything you want, but don't touch the food of that tree in the middle. Don't get near it. that day he will die. And he wanted us to have no choice. Okay, God said it. I will be following it. That's it. But the devil, you know, tricked Eve. The devil tricked Adam through Eve. And you eat of this tree, you'll become like God. No, that's a lie. We're going to be in God's image and likeness. See, the devil twists everything. He twists and he lies, he deceives, he seduces. And our job is to say fiat to God, let it be done as you say. And have no choice but to be peaceful, joyful, and happy. That's what God wants to give us. How much happiness he wants us to possess in letting him reign in us, in our thoughts, our words, our deeds. So again, it's there is no, I want everything for me. I want, and everything that I've given to her in me. See, God wants to totally possess us, and he wants us to totally possess him. Mutual possession. He doesn't want to go anywhere without us, and he wants us to go nowhere without him. So as we link ourselves to Jesus and Mary through Louisa, what a happy life we have. Volume 6, 12:21-03. This morning, I found myself outside of myself, and I was looking into the vault of the heavens, and I saw seven most refulgent suns, but their shape was different from the sun that we see. It started with the shape of a cross, and it ended with a point, and this point was placed inside a heart. And at the beginning, I could not see clearly because the light of these suns was so great as to not allow one to see who was inside of them. But the nearer I drew, the more clearly it appeared that the Queen Mother was within them. And in my interior, I kept saying how I would like to ask her whether Our Lady wants me to try to go out of this state without waiting for the priest. In the meantime, I find myself near her, and I told her, and she answered a curt no. And I was left mortified by this. And the Most Holy Virgin turned to a multitude of people who surrounded her and said, "Listen to what she wants to do." And everybody said, "No, no, she cannot do this." Now, what had happened was, see, the priest is the only one that could get her out of the state. See, every night she would go into a state of rigidity. She would turn like into a stone. And the only one that could get her out of that state was a priest by blessing her with a cross, saying, "Holy God, Holy Immortal One, Holy God, Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One." And once the priest said that, Louisa was back into her normal state, human body. And she said, let's not wait for the priest. I don't want to bother the priest. Let's just get out of this ourselves. And everyone said no. The reason is Louisa was totally submissive to the church. Totally submissive to the priest. Now that's a beautiful sign. She did nothing without the obedience to her confessor. She did nothing without the obedience to her spiritual director. And again, this is what the church has shown with Louisa. She never did anything on her own. As a matter of fact, when her spiritual director transcribed or changed the words of the Hours of the Passion, and the church said, "These are wrong," Louisa says, "I believe they're wrong. I condemn them too, because these are not the words of Jesus. These are the words of my spiritual director, but they're not the words of Jesus." So when the church came out and said, "We condemn what is written," Louisa condemned it too. She says, "I know these are not Jesus' words." So our job is to understand that nothing that Louisa wrote was ever condemned, number one. But what her spiritual director did was condemned by the church. And since her name was on the book, basically they said to Louisa, "We take everything away from you." Now, again, it was a misunderstanding, and Jesus says that there is nothing in these writings that are against the teachings of the church. There is no heresy in these writings. Now, there are some out there, unfortunately, that says there are heresies in her writings, but they're not reading them correctly. And that's why the Vatican is looking very closely at her writings, and the Vatican is very happy for Luisa. As a matter of fact, when I was in the secret archives of the Vatican copying the writings of Luisa, when we met Cardinal Ratzinger, he was most happy that we were there, because he wrote a letter to the Archbishop of Mexico City and told him that the writings of Luisa must be published. That's what he said. Must be published. So he said, Jesus says, I'm waiting for the time when the souls will want this. And see, when she originally wrote this, the people didn't want it. So Jesus says, I'll wait to find a people that will want this. And thank God we are the ones that want it. We are the ones that have now been given all the writings. And we wait for the official translations to come out. So right now we have good translations. There are some poor translations out there. The Archbishop doesn't know who translates what. We know that what we have is translated fairly accurately. But there are other translations that just mislead people. So be careful what you read. Just don't go to the internet to copy something down. For example, Volume 7 originally was translated from Italian to Spanish to Portuguese to English. And then it was translated into French. So you know that the French got the worst deal out of it. But every time it's translated, see, there's two words to everything. You know, in Spanish, there's two different words, okay? If you choose the wrong word and then translate it again, you choose another wrong word, and it just keeps on getting worse. That's why the Archbishop says we should wait for the official translations, and we do. But we also know that what we have is fairly accurate. So, I can't wait to see what the church is doing. I know that what we have is word for word what Luisa said, and like with St. Faustina's writings, after they were recorrected, the church changed some things, because he says, well, we got to make sure that what St. Faustina says is not in any way contrary to the teachings of the church, so they modified some of the words. Okay, but what we have right now is exactly what Jesus said to Luisa. We pray that we can understand this with a deeper love for Jesus. So, and drawing near me in all goodness, Our Lady told me, my daughter, courage along the way of sorrow. See these seven sons which come out from within my heart. They are my seven sorrows, which produce much glory and splendor for me. These sons, these fruits of my sorrows, dart continuously through the throne of the Most Holy Trinity, which, feeling wounded, sends me seven channels of grace continuously, making me the owner, and I, Mary, dispense them for the glory of all of heaven, for the relief of purging souls, and for the benefit of pilgrim souls. And while saying this, she disappeared, and I found myself inside of myself. So here, these seven sons show us the seven sorrows of Mary. How horrible Our Lady was suffered. I mean, Saint Simeon said very clearly that her heart would be pierced with a sword. And as Mother of God, as Theotokos, she went through horrible, horrible suffering. Yet, that suffering brought about immense glory. She says, for all of heaven, for purging souls, for pilgrim souls. So those in heaven, those in purgatory, and those on earth. And as we know Our Lady, the more we get to know Our Lady, we go to her with all our worries, fears, anxieties, complaints, and negativities, and we plead with her. And we know that she will intercede for us. How glorious this is. Volume 6, 9, 1705. Having been in great suffering because of the privation of my most sweet Jesus this morning, the day of the sorrows of Mary Most Holy. After I struggled in some way, Jesus came and told me, my daughter, what do you want that you so much yearn for me? And Luisa says, Lord, I yearn to have for myself that which you have for yourself. See, do you understand this greatness? I yearn to have for me that which you have yourself. Okay, everything that you have for yourself, I want. See, it's this intimacy with God. Whatever you, God, possess, I want to possess. And he says, my daughter, for myself I have thorns, nails, and cross. And Louisa says, well then, that is what I want for myself. So he gave me his crown of thorns, and he shared with me in the pains of the cross. So we see that with Louisa, Jesus crucified Louisa every day. This is something that we will find out later on of how much she suffered. But next, Jesus suffered everything. Jesus suffered more than anybody. And next to Jesus, who's the one who suffered the most, next to Jesus was the Blessed Mother. And now next to the Blessed Mother, the one who suffered most of all the saints is Louisa. And that's what we're going to discover. Jesus said, I crucify you every day, Louisa. And when Aunt Rosaria, this is Father Bucci's aunt, would come in, sometimes she'd see her bed covered with blood, the floor covered with blood, and basically Jesus, Louisa dead. And she'd go, oh my God, she'd run out, she'd get towels, she'd run back in, and Louisa would be fully awake and alert with no blood anywhere. Because Louisa said to Jesus, let no one know what I am suffering. So we see the three that suffered the most, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. And as we get to know Louisa and her love for us, we become aware of how precious this newborn is, Louisa Figueroa. And then he said, everyone can share in the merits and the goods produced by the sorrows of my mother. One who in advance places herself in the hands of Providence, offering herself to suffer any kind of pains and miseries and illnesses and calamities, and everything which the Lord will dispose upon her, comes to share in the first sorrow of the prophecy of Simeon. One who actually finds herself in the state of suffering is resigned, clings more tightly to me, and does not offend me. And it is as if she were saving me from the hands of Herod. And she keeps me safe and sound within Egypt of her heart, so she participates in the second sorrow. The one who feels gloomy, dry, and depraved to my presence, and remains yet firm and faithful to her usual practices even more, she takes the opportunity to love me and to search for me more without tiring, comes to share in the merits and the goods which my mother acquired when I was lost. One who in any way, any circumstances, feels sorry in seeing me gravely offended, despised, trampled upon, and tries to repair me and to compassionate me and to pray for the very ones who offended me. It is as if I encountered in that soul my own mother, who would have freed me from my enemies had she been able to do so. So that soul shares in the fourth sorrow. And one who crucifies her senses for love of my crucifixion, tries to copy the virtues of my crucifixion within herself, participates in the fifth one. The one who is a continuous attitude of adoring, kissing my wounds, and of repairing, of thanking, etc. In the name of all mankind, as if she were holding me in her arms, just as my mother held me when I was deposed from the cross, she shares in the sixth sorrow. And one who remains in my grace corresponds to it, giving a place to no one else but me within her heart, as if she buried me in the center of her heart, and she shares in the seventh one. So this paragraph here, this chapter here, is very important for us who pray the seven sorrows of Mary, and these seven sorrows turns into sons, S-U-N-S. And our God wants us, he gives to us these sons of light, sons of healing, of what Our Lady has gone through for the souls who follow Our Lady, who follow what Our Lady has gone through. How glorious is this mother of ours, Mary? She's the queen, she's the mother, and she desires that we begin to live a life really that has not been seen since Mary was on earth. And now God is offering this to us, not only Jesus' life again, but Our Lady's life as well. Volume 8, 4508. Continuing in my usual state, I found myself outside of myself within a garden in which I could see the Queen Mama placed on a very high throne. I yearned to go up there to kiss her hand. And as I tried to go, she came to meet me, giving me a smacking kiss on the face. And looking at her, I saw as though a globe of light in her interior. And within that light, there was the word fiat. So here we get to see, yes, she is queen. Yeah, she is our mother. And when we yearn to kiss Mary, she will come and give us a smacking kiss on our face. I mean, she's in love with her children, as any good mother would be in love with her children. And our Lady wants to show us how much she loves us. And in this globe of light is the word fiat. Okay, that's what God wants in us as well. Constantly saying fiat. Again, no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity. Everything is fiat. Let it be done as you say. From the word descended many different unending seas of virtue, seas of grace, seas of greatness, seas of glory, seas of joy, seas of beauties, and everything that a queen mother contains as a whole. Everything was rooted in that fiat, and all of her goods took the origin from the fiat, and oh, how omnipotent, fecund, and holy fiat. Who can comprehend you? I feel mute. It is so great that I can say nothing. Therefore, I stop here. See, the fiat is what God said to create everything. Fiat. And everything was created. And Our Lady's fiat, Mihi, the Son of God was incarnated. And now with our fiat, when we give our fiat, everything is done. See, the work we've called the kingdom to reign in us on earth as it is in heaven. So again, when Jesus said to Louisa, when I hear the word fiat, I, God, go into ecstasy. Why? Because he sees himself. He is so beautiful. He is so holy. And that word fiat is God. And our God wants us to participate in it. That globe of light that's supposed to be within us God is supposed to reign there in the Holy of Holies of our soul. And when we receive Holy Communion, God alone is allowed into the Holy of Holies of our soul. No one else is allowed in. But you can allow the Blessed Mother to come in with you to pray to God, to teach you how to pray to Jesus. And you can also invite your Holy Guardian Angel. Those are the only two that are really allowed into the Holy of Holies with Jesus. Your Holy Angel, Guardian Angel, is your eternal companion for all of eternity. And he is your brother. He is the one who leads you to Jesus. He leads us to the Blessed Mother. Our Lady leads us to Jesus and fills us with the divine love. So I looked at Our Lady with amazement. Our Lady said to me, my daughter, all of my sanctity came out from within the word fiat. And it's the same thing with us. The more we say fiat, the more God can transmute us, inside and out. I did not move for one breath, one step, one action, or anything at all, if not within the will of God. My life, my food, my all was the will of God. And this produced such divine sanctity, such divine riches, such divine glory, such divine honors for me, not human, but divine. So the more the soul is united, identified with the will of God, the more the soul can be called holy, and the soul is loved more by God. So the more that you can say your fiat, every time you say fiat, when something happens, you're called to a higher degree of sanctity. You're called to a higher degree of living this love of God, this life of God, this light of God. See, our God doesn't want us to be far from him. And so he shows us Our Lady, and he shows us himself so that we can begin to understand what they breathed into Louisa. And now what Jesus and Mary want us to possess if we are linked to Louisa. See, it took a second woman to do this. And that's why Jesus says, there were two virgins that I chose. One virgin was for redemption, my mother, and one virgin for sanctification, and that is the little daughter, Louisa Picaretta. So here we begin to see how important Louisa is. We see how beautiful Jesus is. We see how beautiful the Blessed Mother is. Yet they breathe this life into that, into Louisa. And now God wants us to possess it if we link ourselves to Louisa. Now, how do you link yourself up with Louisa? You link yourself up with Louisa by reading, by studying, and by putting this into practice. Then you're one with Louisa. You know, you just can't say, well, I like you, Louisa, and I'm linked to you. Well, it's nice. But what did she read? What did she study? What did she live? It was the Book of Heaven. And as we begin to embrace this gift, to read these writings, how glorious it is for us. Let's see. Okay. How can he not love her if she is of his own thing? Therefore, one must not look at how much or how little what he does, the soul does, but rather at whether it is wanted by God. In fact, the Lord looks more at something little, if it is in accord with his holy will, than at something great without the divine will. So, I mean, that's... people say to me, well, what's the will of God for me? Should I go down road number 2 or go down road number 1? What's the will of God for me? And I say, well, that's doing the will of God, and you can choose which one you want. But living in the will of God is much different than that. Living in the will of God is God reigning in you. God breathing in your breathing, beating in your heart beating. God walking in your walking. God cooking in your cooking. God is alive. God is reigning. So living in the will of God is much different than doing the will of God. So it's not whether you go down street A or street B. It's to drive down that street as Jesus driving in your driving. Or walk down that street with Jesus walking in your walking. Whatever you choose, the right or the left, A or B. Volume 8, 12-27-08. I was meditating only on what the Queen Mama gave when the Queen Mama gave her milk to baby Jesus, and I was saying to myself, what must have passed between the Most Holy Mama and the little Jesus in that act? And at that moment, I felt Jesus moving in my interior, and I heard Jesus say to me, my daughter, when I suckled milk from the breast of my most sweet Mama, together with that milk, I suckled the love of her heart. And it was more love than milk that I suckled. While suckling, I could hear her say to me, I love you, O son. And I would repeat to her, I love you, O mama. I was not alone in this, but at my I love you, the Father and the Holy Spirit and the whole of creation, the angels, the saints, the stars, the sun, the drops of water, the plants, the flowers, the grains of sand, all the elements, one run after my I love you and repeat, we love you, O Mother of our God, in the love of our Creator. Do you see how we're participating in Jesus and Mary? You know, whatever Jesus did is divine. So when we do our rounds, it's to walk as you, Jesus, walked. It's to work as you, Jesus, worked. Because that's a divine act. Jesus working. To think as you, Jesus, think. To speak as you, Jesus, speak. See, we're beginning to understand that what God wants us to do in repairing the face of the earth is to begin to do what Jesus does. To repair and repeat what Jesus said, what Our Lady said. What Our Lady did. So it's not me. I'm not doing anything. But I want to eat this cake as Jesus, you ate your cake. I want to drink this water, Jesus, as you drank the water. That's a divine act. See, when the Father looks down and sees St. Teresa washing the dishes, he goes, look, there's St. Teresa washing the dishes. How good, how holy, how saintly. When Jesus washes the dishes, look, there is my Son. A divine act is happening. He, the Lord God of all, is washing the dishes. That's an infinite act. So when we say, Jesus, come wash in my washing, the Father looks down and says, this soul has allowed my Son to wash in their washing. Jesus is doing this act. So we can't do a divine act. We're human. But what we desire, God does. Again, how great is this that our God is teaching us how to begin to live His life, Our Lady's life. This is what's so amazing. I love you. We love you. O Mother of our God and love of our Creator. My mother could see all this and would remain inundated. Our Lady would not find even a tiny space in which she would not hear me say that I loved her. Her love would remain behind almost alone, and she would repeat, I love you, I love you. But she would never match me, Jesus, because the love of a creature has its limits in its time, while my love is uncreated, unending, and eternal. This happens to any soul when she says to me, I love you. I too repeat to her, I love you. And with me, the whole of creation, loving in her my love. And if the creatures comprehended what good and honor they procure for themselves, even by just saying to me, I love you, this would be enough. A God beside them who, honoring them, replies, I love you too. See, it's a competition with God. See, God breathes into us every time we breathe, and I love you. We breathe out, and I love you. He breathes into us, and I love you. We breathe out, and I love you. His blood pumps into our heart with an I love you. Blood pumps out of our heart with an I love you. One step it is I love you. Then the other step is His I love you. One step is our I love you. One step is His I love you. This is what it means to be attentive. Why are you breathing? Is it to say to God, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I adore you, I worship you, I glorify you? Are we attentive to why we are doing things? That's why it's so good to be alone, because you spend your whole time focused on Jesus, loving and praising and thanking and blessing him, and everything that you're thinking and saying and doing, because Jesus is there. You're never alone. You're always with Jesus. Getting closer and closer and closer to the Lord. You know, how magnificent this is that our God is offering this to us at this time. Volume 11, 5, 9, 13. While I was praying, I was thinking about the moment in which Jesus took leave of His Holy Mother to go and suffer His passion. And I said to myself, how is it possible that Jesus could separate Himself from His dear Mama and she from Jesus? My blessed Jesus told me, my daughter, surely there could not be separation because me and my sweet mama, because separation was only apparent. She and I were fused together, and the fusion was such and so great that I remained with her while she came with me. One can say that there was a sort of a bilocation. This happens also to souls when they are truly united with me. If while praying they let prayer enter into their souls as life, a sort of fusion and bilocation occurs. I, God, bring them with me wherever I am, and I remain with them. So here we're beginning to see that our prayer life is going to change. See, we're going to be fused with Jesus. We're going to bilocate with Jesus. This is why it's so much fun to pray in the divine will. You have no idea where God's going to take you. You say to God, do with me as you will. And God goes, are you sure? And you go, yes, I'm sure. And He goes, let's go. Remember with Louisa, you know, she was in bed. But at night, Jesus would take her all throughout the universe. And in the morning, Aunt Rosaria, Father Bucci's aunt, would say that some mornings she'd wake up and her socks were dirty and had holes in them because they walked all over the universe. And it's the same thing with us. God will show us the little ways that He takes us with Him. If we are fused with Him, number one, we will then bilocate with Him, number two. And he's a gentleman. He always asks permission. Do you want to go with me? Do What do you want? That's what Jesus says to us every day. What do you want? And our response is, whatever you want, God, is what I want. And God says, are you sure? And you go, yes, whatever you want is what I want. So don't be surprised when he takes you places that will completely astonish you. He'll show you how much he loves you. See, this gift of the divine will is a gift that the saints only dreamed of. And what he's doing now with souls is, it's becoming routine. And he is so in love with his children that he wants us to be with him. So he says, my daughter, you cannot comprehend well what my beloved mama was for me. Coming upon earth, I could not be without heaven. So my heaven was my mama. Electricity would flow between me and her, such that not a thought escaped her, which she would not draw from my mind. This drawing from me of word, will, desire, action, and step, in sum, everything, formed the sun, formed the stars, formed the moon of this heaven, this new heaven, together with all the possible delights that a creature can give me, and that she herself can enjoy. Oh, how I, God, delighted in this heaven. See, we're going to experience these new heavens. And oh, how I felt relieved and prepared for everything. Even the kisses that my mama gave me enclosed the kiss of all of humanity, returning to me the kiss of all creatures. To see how our God wants to be kissed. So that's why when you have the little baby Jesus, you know, flood him with kisses. When you have the crucifix, kiss his hands and his feet. Kiss his wounded forehead and his side that's pierced. You know, do this for everyone and for everything. Let Jesus experience the kisses of all mankind through your kisses. I mean, don't be far from Jesus. I felt my sweet mama everywhere. I felt Our Lady in my breath, and if I was labored, she would relieve it. I felt Our Lady in my heart. If it was embittered, she would sweeten it. I felt my Our Lady in my step, and if it were tired, she would give me the strength and rest. And then, who could tell you how I felt her in my passion? I felt her heart at each lash. I felt her heart at each thorn. I felt her heart at each wound. I felt her heart at each drop of my blood. Everywhere, carrying out her office of my true mother. Ah, if souls reciprocated me, if they drew everything from me, how many heavens and how many mothers I would have on earth. So, in that paragraph right there, this is a wonderful paragraph to sit in front of the Blessed Sacrament, look at Jesus and read this, and then look at Jesus and read it, and then look at Jesus and read it. See, he wants you to put this into practice. See, he wants you to become his mother as well. I mean, he said, who are my mother and my brothers? Those who do the will of the Father. And this is what he's teaching us. We can have that same blood relation that Jesus and Mary possessed. If we listen to him. If we listen to what he taught Louisa. Vine 12, 11, 28, 20. I was thinking of when my sweet Jesus was in order. I was thinking of when my sweet Jesus, in order to begin his sorrowful passion, wanted to go to his mother and asking for a blessing. And my blessed Jesus told me, my daughter, how many things does this mystery reveal? I, God, wanted to go to my dear mother, and I, God, was asking her for her blessing, in order to give our Mary the opportunity to ask for my blessing herself. Okay, so he's saying, look at this mystery. It's important. The pain in which she was to bear were too, the pains in which she was to bear are too many, and it was just that my blessing would strengthen her. It is my usual way to ask whenever I want to give, and my mama understood me immediately, and so that she did not bless me before asking for my blessing. Only after I blessed her did she bless me. And that's what we were talking about yesterday. Always ask for a priest's blessing, because it is Jesus' blessing. So here you see, again, it's very, very important, this mystery. Jesus went to Mary, but Mary first asked Jesus for her blessing, his blessing, and then she gave him hers. But this is not all. In order to create the universe, I pronounced one fiat, and by the one fiat, I reordered and embellished heaven and earth. In creating Adam, my omnipotent breath infused life in him. Upon beginning my passion, I wanted to bless my mama with my omnipotent and creative word, but I did not bless her only. In my mama, I saw all creatures. Our Lady was the one who had primacy over all. And in Our Lady, I blessed everyone and each one. Evermore, I blessed each thought, I blessed each word, I blessed each act, etc. I blessed each thing which had to serve the creature. Just as the sun created by my omnipotent fiat is still flowing its course for everyone and for each mortal without ever decreasing its light or heat, in the same way, in blessing, my creative word remained in the act of blessing continuously without ever ceasing to bless, just as the sun will never cease to give its light to all creatures. So it's an infinite act, okay? This is what God wants us to possess. And this is not all. With my blessing, I wanted to renew the qualities of creation. I wanted to call my celestial Father to bless in order to communicate power to the creature. I wanted to bless Mary in my name and in the name of the Holy Spirit in order to communicate to her wisdom and love, therefore renew the memory, the intellect, and the will of creatures, restoring her, Mary, sovereign of all. However, now that in giving, I want, my dear mother understood, and she immediately blessed me, not only for herself, but in the name of everyone. Oh, if all could see this blessing of mine, they would feel it in the water they drink. They would feel it in the fire that warms them. They will feel it in the food they take. They will feel it in the sorrow that afflicts them. They will feel it in the moans of their prayers. They will feel it in the remorse of their guilt. They will feel it in the abandonment of creatures. In everything, they would hear my creative word saying to them, but alas, it is not heard. I bless you in the name of the Father and of myself, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I bless you to help you. I bless you to defend you. I bless you to forgive you. I bless you to console you. I bless you to make you a saint. And the creature would echo my blessing by blessing me too in everything. These are the effects of my blessing, and my church, instructed by me, echoes me in almost all circumstances. The administration of the sacraments and others, she gives her blessing. So we'll end in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.